Down memory lane we go with Pukia Ricky and Rhonda Bartle. Morning, Rhonda.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. Nice day?
Yeah, the sun is shining. It's beautiful.
A very pleasant change.
Yes,
very
snow pleasant on the mountain.
Change. Yeah, you've had a good week?
Not too bad, thank you, Phil.
So that's good. Now, we're going to talk about a very poignant tale about Passchendaele, which is an interesting one. It's a story of a man who didn't start out life here. Did he?
Yeah, he did.
But he went to Australia.
He did, yeah. Ralph Doty was born in Stratford.
Oh, good.
But he went to Australia to seek his fortune.
At what stage did he do that? What year was that?
He went to Australia in 1913, and he was just a young guy. And he was there at the start of World War One, and he enlisted.
In the Australian forces.
And his regimental number shows how keen he was to enlist. He was number 193.
So very, very early into the piece.
Yes, right at the very beginning of the war.
And he was, what, about 22 when he enlisted?
He was 22. And the photo of him, isn't he beautiful?
Very strapping, striking young man.
Yes, absolutely. And then there's a photo of him, not just in uniform, but in like an Eton suit. And yes, he looks like a fine guy.
So what was he doing before he got involved in the military?
Sure. He went to seek his fortune, so obviously he was working over there, but not quite sure doing what. But he was a well-educated lad, and yes, I think he was probably a very good all-rounder.
All right. Well, he went to war, obviously, in World War One. He fought at Gallipoli and was awarded the Military Cross.
Yes, he was. I'd quite like to back up just a little bit and just express my thanks, really, to the Kivels. Peter Kivel came in and talked to me about Ralph Doty, I always say that wrong. I really wish I'd had this story for Anzac Day because, you know, we do get a fair amount of interest in soldiers and the war. Ralph's story is told through a series of five diaries that he left behind.
Okay.
And the story of the diaries is very interesting too. But yes, I was given the story by Peter Kivel, who had gone to a huge amount of trouble to have the diaries transcribed, and then he put them all up on the website where they're available for other people to read.
Okay, on the Pukia Ricky website?
Yes, we have a link to the Kivel family website through ours.
Oh, their own family website?
Yes, that's right. Okay. But these diaries and the transcriptions are so valuable that the Ministry of Culture and Heritage are now going to use part of the transcriptions to tell Ralph's story.
So what is the connection between the Kivels and Ralph?
Okay, well, Peter Kivel said he always knew he had a relative who died at Passchendaele. Peter is Ralph's great-great nephew.
Okay.
But I also talked with Peter's father, Tony, who, between them, they just wanted to know what Ralph's life was like, and
okay.
So yes, they went to a great amount of trouble to discover all about it for us as well.
All right, so that's how the story came about. Obviously, a very strong local connection there, and you would have learnt a fair amount about Passchendaele in the research that you undertook for the story. What did you learn about it?
Oh, Quinny, this is where it really, you know, like sometimes I get to do stories and they seem more than the sum of their parts. And this is one like that. And it's one that I'll really remember because we hear the words Gallipoli and Passchendaele and Anzacs and all of that, and it becomes to generations like me who never witnessed war, it becomes kind of almost like a cliche, just names, words don't mean a lot. But to learn, I mean, I read all of Ralph's diaries, which gives an amazing slant, you know, a personal slant on what it was like to go to war. But I also went and did some research on Passchendaele, and the things that I found out were just appalling. Things that will probably stay in my mind as quite vivid. I think I'm a visual learner, and some of the things are so visual.
Mm.
Like, at Passchendaele, afterwards, like, it was just this little village in Belgium, and afterwards they took an aerial photo, and within a 1 mile radius of ground, they counted a million pock marks from the shells that fell. You know, well, I'll probably never get beyond that because it's kind of defies credibility, really. And also I learned all about the mud. You know, it was just this stinking, oozing bowl of mud. There were, I think, a series of five battles that have come to be known as Passchendaele. So the ground had seen fighting before, and it was swampy before they started. And then, of course, the rain just pounded down. It was, you know, the rainy season, and they put duck boards across these great oozing, you know, mud-filled craters to be able to get from one place to another. And there's this very good poem by Siegfried Sassoon, which I might read because it kind of sums it up.
Yeah.
It says, "I died in hell, they called it Passchendaele. My wound was slight and I was hobbling back, and then a shell burst slick upon the duck boards, so I fell into the bottomless mud and lost the light." And it was things like that that I learned about. Half a million men died at Passchendaele, and a lot of them, they should have survived. You know, they would survive the shelling, but they'd slip off the duckboards into the mud, you know, and be lost.
And gone.
Tanks were swallowed by the mud. Other things, because it had seen fighting for, you know, many, many months, a lot of corpses that had laid buried under the mud, you know, when the ground kind of started to wash away because of the amount of rain that fell, all these bodies were uncovered and
resurfaced
in different stages of decomposition.
Oh, God.
And it just, well, yeah, it's awful. And I will probably never hear the word Passchendaele without these vivid, vivid
thinking
pictures.
Of those, yeah, they are vivid.
Yeah, and these young men, you know, 20, 22, 23, 24, you know. And
they gave their all. And,
they did.
And to die in such a hellhole like that, it just doesn't bear thinking of, does it?
I mean,
it's, and it is so hard to comprehend what those brave, brave men went through.
Ralph had fought at Gallipoli, and he kept records in his diary, and he wrote every day, and he wrote with hands raw from cordite, and he wrote these absolutely amazing, quite humorous slants on his own personal war. And so he still actually had his diary with him at Passchendaele, but the last one would have been lost in the mud when he died, because it never actually made it home.
Never recovered.
With his body. No.
Did they find his body and bring him home?
Yes, he was brought home. He was awarded the Military Cross. And here's something really sad. This is a terrible footnote to the story. His mum and dad were on holiday, and they were called to Wellington to go and collect his medal, I think.
Yeah.
I'll just check that. Yeah, while on holiday in New Plymouth, his mum and dad received a telegram requesting their presence in Wellington to receive Ralph's Military Cross. But after travelling to the capital, Mrs. Doty had a heart attack and died.
Oh, no.
And so just like her boy, she never actually made it back to Stratford again.
Oh, gosh.
You know? So
very sad.
It is sad, but his diaries are absolutely wonderful.
I'm going to ask you about that. What do they tell you about him? I mean, to keep all these diaries, as you say, through Gallipoli and then on to where he finally fell, must have been incredibly interesting.
Okay, well, one of the cool things about transcribing the diaries is, you know, aside from everything we've just been saying about war as hell, Ralph thought he had embarked on a boy's own adventure.
Yeah, as they all did.
And he just loved it. And he wrote these wonderfully non-politically correct things, you know, where he called all the enemy the Kaiser and the Hun and, you know, all this wonderful stuff.
Mm.
And gave really, really vivid accounts of eating at the restaurants and sailing from Alexandria and... Yeah, so you kind of get to know him, and he seems like, I don't know, a good, keen man.
So he wrote every day about his experiences at war.
He wrote every day for, I think he was there for 2 years, 173 days from memory.
Goodness me. Okay, so he was a good, keen man. A good way to sum him up? How would you describe him?
Well, he died a hero. Mm. He did die a hero, and he's well remembered in Stratford on the, you know, the Hall of Remembrance, yep. which is good. And Peter Kivel, his ancestor, calls in every time he drives past to see his name. He said he'd always been curious about him.
Yeah.
But when he and his father had the transcriptions from the diary, the diaries, they actually set about getting all other documentation they could. And they said that they were really fortunate in the way that Ralph had enlisted in Australia, because the Australian archives are really accessible. And for $15, they received 95 separate pieces of paper, including Ralph's medical papers when he, and his enlistment papers, which is pretty cool, isn't it?
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so they, there's not a lot about Ralph that they don't know now.
Yeah, no, a very complete picture.
Yeah.
A very complete picture. And of course, as you say, the links to the website, the Kivel family website, and you can get
well,
to that.
Well, we are very pleased to have this on our website and very grateful to Peter for getting in touch.
Mm.
Yes, it's called To Die at Passchendaele, and it's under conflict and protest. And I made certain that there were links down the side so that people could just click on that and go through and read Ralph's diaries.
Yeah, great stuff.
I think it's very valuable New Zealand history.
Yeah, and as you say, so many died. I think there were 300,000 British Allied troops, and I think, well, there were even Australian, the Australian numbers that died also were.
Yes, 36,500
Australians.
But, you know, we had a lot of men enlist.
Yeah.
In the Australian Army.
Exactly. So a lot of Kiwis would have been involved in that too, including Ralph, obviously. All right. Okay. A very, very poignant story indeed. Thank you very much for sharing it, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of interest in that on the website as well.
Oh, well, thanks to the Kivels and the Wards and the Doties.
Indeed. Thanks, Rhonda.
Thank
we will
you.
Have another story next week from Rhonda Bartle at Pukeha Riki. A very, very poignant tale indeed.